going with the flow, adapting, and adjusting to the unexpected and to your audience. Peter has spent over 30 years in the world of accountants, bankers, and other analytical left-brain business leaders. From Price Waterhouse to Victoria's Secret to the halls of academia as an accounting professor, Peter uses all of his life's experience to help business people like you to embrace the right minds in order to strengthen their business success skills and improve their organization's morale through better communication. As an author, speaker, educator, trainer, and the founder and self-proclaimed chief entertainment officer of his own company, The Accidental Accountant, Peter will share with you how two little words changed his life and can infinitely improve your business's success. He will also show you how to really listen to your internal team and external clients or customers to build rapport, trust, and loyalty. Get ready, Peter, to help you discover your inner superhero and greater success in life as you explore and build on the powerful principles of improvisation. Please welcome to the stage the Chief Entertainment Officer himself, Peter A. Margaritis.
A different type of introduction. I didn't need to start. I can play it over you. I need to clarify three things real quick. One, my name is Peter Margaritis, and that sounds like a Greek special in Key West. But if you look at the spelling of my last name, it ends in an IS, not an AS. And it actually should be pronounced Margaritis, like hepatitis, gingivitis, laryngitis. My name's not fine. Sounds like something that needs a Z-pack. Trust that. Second thing, yes, for 5 years I worked in women's underwear. For Victoria's Secret catalog.
That's a tough gig.
It was tough. And finally, you're sitting there thinking, what does a CPA know about the bottled water business? What is he going to tell me about my business? Actually, our businesses are the same. I'm not a practicing CPA. Let me just put that out. I'm not a practicing CPA. I'm the accidental accountant. I'm the opposite of most accountants. But our CPA's businesses, accounting business, is the same as your business. Why is that? How could that be? We're in the same business. Process. Nope.
Service.
Nope. Give you one more guess.
Don't know how to add.
Maybe. What business are we in? People, thank you very much. We are in the people business. First and foremost, over anything else. Because without people, I have no employees. Without people, I have no clients, no customers. We're in the relationship business. We are in the relationship business. Without people, we don't exist in our businesses. We're out of work. So people are our number one asset. And we're looking at, we have the same angst and stresses and frustrations as you do. You're trying to attract the best employee possible. We're trying to attract the best employee possible. You're trying to find quality customers. We're trying to do the same thing. We deal with government regulations. You guys got FISA? Is that what it is? FISA? Sounds like a really bad flu. It sounds like a really bad flu. Okay, you guys are tough. And we're trying to spend more time with our families, correct? So look, I like when you peel back that onion and get to the core part of our business, it is people. And accountants, and maybe those in this room will go on, because the business environment is rapidly changing. Technology is doubling. Technology is disrupting businesses. There was a book that came out a few years ago called The Second Machine Age. It was written by these two PhD MIT computer science people. And basically, they contend that the guy who founded Intel, a gentleman by the name of Gordon Moore, stated that technology doubles every 18 to 24 months. And they explain this by the game of chess. The game of chess was invented in India. And the gentleman who invented it took it to the emperor and said, look at my name. The emperor was so overwhelmed by this game, loved it, he says, I want to buy it. And the guy says, okay, this is what I want. I'm a very simple man. I want you to put one grain of rice on that square. And everyone after that, 2, 4, 6, 8, keep doubling it. By the time he got to the 16th square, there was so much rice in the room, he only had one thing to do. He killed the guy. But these guys talk about, if you took halfway through that chessboard, that was 2005.
How many of you in this room remember that high-tech device that we had in order to play a 45 record? It's made out of what? Plastic, right? Then we went to the 8-track. Cassette player,
CDs, MP3s, now we have the internet machine. Did we still have a BlackBerry, by the way? Who used to have a BlackBerry? Yeah, most people. Technology. Research in Motion, the parent company of BlackBerry, they said this was not superior to their product because of the fact they weren't looking at the other part of the technology that they had available to them.
Think about today. Think about...
anybody ever take Uber? Use Uber? The ride-sharing service?
Heard.
Yeah, you've taken it?
Would you ever get back in a taxi again? A traditional taxi cab again?
It was banned in Europe.
Oh, it's banned in Europe.
So I have to.
Okay, so don't take them in Europe. But my first Uber experience, I travel a lot. I've been in a lot of taxi cabs. And there's an app, I can push it. Shows up, he knows my name, I know the car, he's got the credit card information, it's a seamless transaction, don't have to worry about the tip. The car was actually clean, it was extremely nice, and it was half the price than would normally be if I took a taxi. Disruptive business. Airbnb, similar type of disruptive business where you can click an app, look at properties that maybe you want to rent for the weekend, for the day, choose one, it'd be half the price of what you would pay at a major hotel. Now, both of these companies, disruptive businesses. They're putting, Marriott Corporation is capitalized at $21 billion. Its market capitalization is $21 billion. Airbnb's estimated market capitalization is $26 billion. And they don't have any real estate. Same thing with Uber. Their estimated market capitalization is $21 billion. Now, they haven't done the IPO yet. But these are estimates. These are apps. They don't own anything other than technology. And technology continues to double. Both of these books address a real issue. As this technology increases, and now it's getting to the point it's become disruptive, those jobs that are highly repetitive will be replaced by a machine. Highly repetitive. Those have highly repetitive activities. Amazon last Christmas in their warehouse launched these robots that went out into the distribution center, picked up, brought it back, set it on where a human picked it, put it in, set the pack, sent the ship. 35% increase in productivity. I had someone in one of my classes go, yeah, my friend just took a job out in Seattle with Amazon. And he's got 50 FTEs reporting to him. And 20 of them are robots. You know how easy it is to manage a robot? You just put them in a closet. You don't have to pay them benefits. And they're productive and they're never sick. They're easier to manage. This summer on July 4th in Phoenix, Arizona, McDonald's opened their first robotic McDonald's. There's three people in the place to make sure the machines are working like they're supposed to. But a robotic McDonald's. Disruptive businesses. And this book over here, Humans Are Underrated. Do you remember Watson?
who beat the guy in chess, the computer that beat the guy in chess, and then beat the guy on Jeopardy. They dumped thousands and thousands and thousands of cookbooks into Watson, programmed it, and said, okay, Watson, I want you to come up with a recipe that's never been done and is edible. 10 seconds. Came out a recipe. They cooked it. It was edible. And you can actually go on Amazon.com and buy Watson's cookbook. So these jobs that are going to be highly repetitive, as Jeffrey Coleman, and this came out this summer, discusses, it's not how do we beat the machine, it's what do we do better than the machine. And what we do better is creating relationships. That's what we do. The machine cannot take that away from us. And it's going to be much more important, I say within 5 years. The accounting professor, I'm telling you guys, you can't learn how to talk. Quit looking at your shoes when you talk to people. Look them in the eyes. Do you know how you tell an extroverted accountant from an introverted accountant? An introverted accountant looks at their shoes when they're talking to you. An extroverted one looks at your shoes. We have to become better communicators. And we need people to help build those relationships. We need people. And we need to retain the best people possible. Because people are our only asset that will help us win in this technological game that we're playing. Google has a driverless car. It's been one accident. But it didn't cause the accident. Someone ran into the car. Think about your businesses. Think about those things that might be highly repetitive in your business. Think about your businesses and the people that you have working with you, working for you. And think about your customers and clients. How can we build stronger relationships with our people so they won't leave? How can we build stronger relationships with our clients? How can we, basically, first thing to do with our clients and even with our employees, that 80-20 approach. If you're spending 80% of your time on 20% of your problems or 20% of your employees or 20% of your clients, they need to move. Those clients, those customers that you're spending most of your time with and getting the least return from them, we need to move on. Same thing with employees. We need the best, the brightest, in order to continue to grow our businesses. Because in order to have a business, we have to have sales. We have to have revenue. And the only way that's generated is through relationships. I've been hanging out all morning just watching people, this group, interact. There's a lot of relationships going on. There's a lot of people talking to each other, slapping back, having lots of laughs, making those types of connections. If your people aren't the best at doing that, we got to get them better. If your clients are, you're losing clients, you're getting your customer satisfaction numbers are going down, we've got to fix it. And we have to understand that maybe within our businesses, my workforce, that 20% that I might have to get rid of, that might be attrition due to automation within the industry coming in. But things are changing. So let's play word association. When you hear the word improvisation, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Comedian, what else?
Radio.
Radio, what else?
Laugh.
What else?
Panic.
Quick?
Panic.
Panic. I like we started off with comedian. Because we all know Drew Carey, right? Where everything's made up in the points don't count, that's a lie. It's not made up. It's absolutely not made up. And I'm going to demonstrate that in a couple of ways. One, when I took my first series of improv classes many years ago, which got me interested in becoming a student of it, the teacher told us, I want you to go away next week, and I want you to learn everything that you can about the 1970s. News, pop culture, government, everything that you can soak into your body, absorb it. And the next week when you come in, we're going to have our workshop built around the 70s. And those who did not do the work failed miserably. So it's not making it up. You have to have an improvisation. You have to refer to your knowledge and your education and be able to adapt at a certain point in time. That's improvisation. Now, I've got a clip here of Drew Carey doing about a 5-minute piece on his show, Whose Land Is It Anyway? Try to watch it as there's a team of people out there trying to work together towards a singular goal and think about what skills that they might be using in order to achieve it.
Okay, now we go to a game called Greatest Hits. This is for Colin, Ryan, and Wayne. Doug Warhol. On the keyboard, Warhol. We're just trying outside to do a show. Colin and Ryan are TV voiceover people, and they're going to be talking about the latest compilation album, and Wayne is going to sing a good song. What we need from the audience is the a kind of profession you wouldn't normally sing a song about. Okay, I heard a lot about accounting. I don't know how we're going to do it, but good luck. Maybe your album is Songs of Accounting.
Hi! Sorry to interrupt. We'll be back to the 24-hour Drew Carey Network in just a moment. But first, we've got a special offer for you.
You know, many people think accountants are boring.
Isn't it?
They are! But out of great boredom comes great songs, and we come up with a 25,000-hour CD filled with songs of accounting.
That's right. We have, Colin, many different songs. Don't forget that disco favorite, P-I-V-O-R-C-E-I-R-S.
You
other than a very talented Wayne Brady, what did you see?
Professionals.
That part is they knew that the type of music that they were going to do, but they didn't know we're doing songs of accounting. How did they make you laugh? Because actually, improv, it's not trying to be funny, but you end up being funny. What were they doing as a team in order to succeed?
They're working off of each other.
How do you work off of each other, sir?
Well, when somebody says something, your job as the wingman is to hear what he says and come back with a retort which fits the theme, continue the theme.
Okay, so we could call that listening.
Yeah, listening.
Yeah, they had to be listening to each other. But they had to do something else along with listening.
They turned the subject matter upside down.
They turned the subject matter upside down.
Upside down, and they pulled fun of the subject.
Right, they pulled fun of the subject, but they had to have some knowledge of accounting. They had to have some knowledge, and everybody's knowledge of accounting goes right to taxes. IRS, bankruptcy, deduct this, goes right to taxes. Never goes to auditing. But right to that, but they have to have at least some general knowledge. So songs of accounting, first thing I was thinking was taxes. It relates to everybody. And like, wow. What else? I mean they were listening to what the other person said, and then you said reacting to it. Okay. Quick on the toes, quick on their feet. They were fast.
Processing and...
spitting out.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of experience.
It does take a lot of experience, a lot of training. But it also takes something else. We all carry an agenda with us everywhere we go. And that agenda, they drop it. Because in order to hear, in order to listen, you have to listen to everything that comes out the person's mouth. And then pause, and then adapt and react to it. While they're talking, if somebody else has this agenda, they're going to train wreck the whole city. They have to truly trust their teammates. They know that they're going to support them through this process. And they have to be laser focused. They can't be sitting there thinking, what time is my son's soccer game tonight? Because without being laser focused, when I'm thinking about my son's soccer, I'm not hearing the words the other person's giving. And it's hard to completely drop your agenda, whether you're in a meeting, whether you're discussing something with an employee, or you're discussing something with a client. With the accounting profession, they don't know how. I'm trying to teach them how to listen. I like to take the managing partners and CFOs out to lunch. First question I ask them. What keeps you up at night? And I let them talk. And then when they're done, I'll either ask them another question or make a statement or comment. And every time I do this, they all say the same thing to me. I wish my people would do that. I wish my people would listen to the client. They're not listening to the client at all. They've got this preconceived notion of what they want to do, what they want to sell. But 9 times out of 10, when they try to sell that or push that, that's not what the client wants. That's not the need of that client. It's tough to drop that agenda. But yes, it takes a lot of time. And you know what? We all improvise every single day. Now, what I want to do is have you recognize that we do improvise every single day. But I want to introduce you to the principles or the skill sets of improvisation to raise its awareness so you can begin to adopt this improvisational type of lifestyle. So two things can happen. You can get the best employees possible and you can retain them as well as you can grow your business. And it works. It works. It works in so many... And if you want to change your career or you aspire... The International Bottled Water Association has a board of directors, correct? And there's usually a chair. And it usually comes from the membership, correct? You might be sitting there thinking you want to be the next, or at some point in your career, want to be the chair of that executive board. I've never been a partner in a firm. I've never been a CFO or a controller. But in June of 2010, I was installed as the chair of the Ohio Society of CPAs Executive Board. I was number 101. And if you look back at the last 100 that were in that role, they all had partner, CFO, controller, senior vice president of investment on their resume, and a PhD professor in accounting. I had none of those. And people ask me, how in the heck did you do that? Principles of improvisation. Principles of improvisation helped me eliminate, helped me control that inner critic that lives in our heads. That inner critic that lives in our heads. So improvisation, the principles of improvisation. And think about the video, trust. You have to have trust in your people. And your people have to have trust in you. You have to trust your customers. You have to trust your employees. I had a boss once, and I love this. He says, I am not a micromanager. This is what I do. I give you some rope. You're going to do one or two things. You're going to build a bridge or you're going to hang yourself. I hung myself a number of times. But that was okay. Because he said, now you learned something. He was a great leader, a great boss, because he allowed me to make mistakes. He realized that I was human and I was going to make mistakes. But he was there because he trusted me. He supported me in this process. And we had mutual respect for one another. Support. When I talk about support, we have to support our people and we have to support our clients and customers. How do we support our people? By giving them the resources necessary for them to excel. If you're thinking about retiring soon and you're looking at your who's next in line, I don't have anybody, well, try to figure out why. What skills are they missing? Let's invest into them. And yeah, I hear this all the time, but you know, they're just going to leave me anyhow. Now, these millennials, they're just going to leave me anyhow, so why invest into them? You know what? You want them to stay? Invest into them. The likelihood that they will stay dramatically increases when you invest into their skills, into their careers. You've got some type of emotional equity now into the business. So that's support. And obviously you have to support your clients and their business and your customers and clients. Respect. Do you remember the movie Remember the Titans? Denzel Washington has them all running through the battlefield in Gettysburg. And at one point he turns, we're still fighting the same fight that we've been fighting since then. And he looks at his team and says, I don't care if you don't like each other, but you got to respect each other. I still get chills thinking about it. You got to respect each other. Because when you can respect each other, then we just might win some ball games. And what happened? They started winning some ball games. So in business, there's a lot of people I don't like. Actually, even in personal life, I don't like my neighbor at all. At all. We don't get along. However, I have respect for him. He has a wife. Two kids, he's out there helping it just like everybody else is, day in and day out, trying to make a living for his family. I'm not going to put a sign up in front of my yard and say, my neighbor's an idiot. But we see that all the time. We hear about it all the time. And if you want to see where there's a lack of respect, we're in the midst of it, called Congress. So by showing respect to someone, now listening to understand, not listening to respond. We live in a listen to respond environment. We interrupt. When someone gets the last syllable rolling off their tongue, we're jumping right on top of it. I'm guilty. I work on it every single day. And there's days that I fail. But if you can begin to think about, I'm going to listen to understand. I'm not going to have an agenda handy. I'm just going to park it over here. I'm going to listen to what the person is saying. Then, and during this time, that remember that laser focus. So when that person is done, when I pause before I respond, that pause, studies have actually shown by pausing,
before responded increases that level of respect because they're going, they actually listen to me. And then adapting to the situation.
This agenda that you thought might be the right one, maybe it's not. Go back in your Rolodex, as she said, that quickness, figure out, then drop it. Or if you're not quite sure, ask another question. Why do you feel that way? What's going on? Help me understand. And as they continue to give more and more information, you'll get to the core issue at hand, whether it's your customers or whether it's your employees. I don't know if it was Dale Carnegie or who said about the seven no's. Until you can get past that seventh no, once you get past that seventh no, that's when you find what the core issue is. And the only way to get past seven no's is by asking more questions. By asking, digging a little deeper. And all of this is held together in improvisation. All of this is held together by two very simple words. The two most powerful words in the English language. Yes, and. Not yes, but. How do you feel when you get yes, butted? You don't feel too good, do you? They're not paying, they have no respect for me. They don't trust me. I'm not getting support. I want you to go out and bring me some creative ideas. Yes, but we don't have it in the budget. I'm trying to teach accountants, CFOs, to change that to yes, and tell me about your idea. Yes, and give me a little bit more information. Yes, have you thought about this? Don't immediately kill the idea because it's not in the budget. And just as a head of accounts know how to move money out of one pillar into another pillar, they're real good at manipulating budgets, helping to meet that need. But if you yes, but, yeah, your people are not going to stick around. They're going to go someplace else. If you yes, but in your customers, you're not going to have them much longer. It's yes, and's about agreement. It's not about agreeing. And I will say, I do it 90% of the time, 10% of the end, but sometimes it's no. You can't jump out of an airplane without a parachute. That's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's not yes, and you're going to hurt yourself. It's a definite no. But if you adopt those two words, you'll see things change almost overnight. Those two words got me to the chair of the Ohio Society of CPAs. I have a 15-year-old son. Anybody have a teenager? Had teenagers? Yeah. It's hard to use yes and. And actually, we got a swear jar. Whoever says yes but owes, if he says yes but, he owes a dollar. If I use yes, but I owe $20, so I put in $40 to start.
And I would at least get two of them out.
But even that has changed. My dad was a big yes, but. And working with a 15-year-old, working through his teenager years, the ability to yes and with him, that's a huge difference. He's more engaged. He's not as defensive. Oh, and by the way, he's actually kind of popular. However, I don't know why parents are so upset about their kids texting. Just off the side note. I want my son to text because I don't want to talk to a 15-year-old. Seriously. Hey, Dad, no, no, son, go to your room and text him, please. Go text. But the stuff works. Now, how many days does it take to create a habit?
18 to 21.
I say it takes 18 to 21 days to start a habit. It's a lifetime of consistently doing it every single day that gets baked into your DNA. Anybody in here play golf? Apparently you're not that good because you're not on the PGA Tour, are you? Because you're standing up there going, okay, swing. And Jordan Spieth's going, I'm going to three wood and hit a little fade. Has this baked into their DNA. They practice it every day. Same thing with this. You have to practice the principles every single day. You need visual reminders. Put the word yes and on an index card. Put it in your car. Put it at work. Put it somewhere. Or do what I do. I like to wear a French cuff. Dress shirt because I got these cool cufflinks.
The couple said, yes, and. Because I travel a lot. Philadelphia is a yes, but airport. LaGuardia is a yes, but airport. So I keep around when I travel and stuff. We're going to go to keep that in front of me. Because there are some days I, yes, and hell with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we all have those days. We're all allowed to make those mistakes. So if you just do that little thing, plant that seed and let it grow over 21 days and continue to do it. I don't like guarantees, but I would almost guarantee that you would see a change in one, the morale in your location, in your businesses. You'll see a change in the way people are working. You'll see a change in clients and customers. And you know what? Those prospects that you might have been, you've been fishing for, you might start catching them. You might start catching them. Because once I figured this out, everything was possible. Nothing was impossible. But that whole thing about yes, but, it's that inner critic in your head that says, oh, you can't do that. Are you crazy? You've only been in the profession 10 years. You're not a partner or any of those kinds of things. My inner critic was telling me how many times over, you will never be chair. I flipped those two words out. Hey, it took me 5 years to do that because it helped me develop a plan to execute to that. And every single day, trying to adopt that. And I drove my board crazy because I said, for a year, we're going to apply the principles of improvisation in our board meetings and everything. Yes, but we don't use. You're going to have to find a way to say yes and. But we're accountants. We like saying no. And how do people? And why won't other people play with you in the workforce? Why won't the salespeople come over and talk to you? Why are people afraid of you? Because you always say no. There's different ways of saying no. But if you use that yes and, you now have an associate who is now more inspired because you've done all this. Morale in the office increases. So what does improv have to do with business? Everything. Go out on the Google and type in improvisation for business or improv for business. You will see articles in Forbes, Fortune, Inc. There's a study from the University of North Carolina on the effects that it has on business. It's baked in and it's becoming more baked in. But it's about that adaptability. The ability to adapt in a changing environment. And if you go, well, this is not the way we did it 20 years ago, you're right, it's not the way. And we're not going back 20 years. The other piece about this is, as it relates with employees, relates with people. If the business climate is changing as much as it is, as quickly as it is, your people, you have to rely on them for something else. How many in this room think you're creative?
Couple? Yeah. Those of you who don't, I want to ask you a very question. How many of you have ideas? You're all creative. The process is getting the idea out of your head. But my inner critic says that's stupid. Don't say that. Tell your inner critic this. Bad ideas lead to good ideas. No ideas lead to nothing. I was in a workshop for a Fortune 500 company, Maryland. And they brought their salespeople in, the emerging leaders from the U.S. and from Latin America, in for the session. And I was doing a creativity session. And I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I want us to come up with ideas on how to increase profitability. Idea here, idea there, idea there. The gentleman from Latin America goes, I've got an idea. Here's how we're going to increase profitability. We're going to kill our competition salespeople.
No.
I can't make that up. Everybody laughed. I said, wait.
Clearly murder's off the table. But we can do what a lot of companies do when they go out to somebody else's employees. Maybe we can offer their salespeople $30,000 more and a $10,000 bonus. We can post. Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Wouldn't we have got to post you without murder? Maybe.
But it may have taken us a longer bit of time to do that. So we are creative, and my point here is you need to ask your people to give you ideas on how you can run your business differently, maybe more efficiently. Ask them for ideas and listen to their ideas. Build a culture that says, I am not going to chastise you if you say we're going to murder ourselves. I'm not going to go, yes, but that's crazy. I'm going to say, no. Yeah, that's a bad idea, but how can we turn that into a good idea? How can we turn that around? Because we need ideas. And we can't rely on ourselves. Because the collective knowledge inside of our head does not even compare to the collective knowledge within our organization. So ask people to give you ideas. That's the yes and approach. The listening, focusing, respect. And you never know. Because there are gems in every idea. Embrace and build. Treat every idea as though it has the purpose to change the world, and at one point, one will. I was working with a group of CPAs in Pittsburgh, and they said, yeah, but we're in the gas business, so we get all these regulations, and we get the regulators, and you know, I've asked my people, and I've yes, but them. How do I get past that? I said, quit saying yes, but. Say yes, and. That idea that you think might be good, but it's not maybe the right time, you bank that idea over here. And you keep that person accountable to this idea to help nurture it, grow it. And maybe we'll revisit the next year to see if maybe it will actually work. Maybe it will actually work. And if you keep doing that, now you've got a whole warehouse full of ideas. Now when something happens, and something will happen, you can turn to your idea bank and go, oh, wait. That one up there. I think that's going to work now. Let's bring it down here. And let's execute to it. But without getting the ideas from your people, you're not going to be able to react, to adapt to this changing business environment. I was working with a firm in New York the other day, and I said, if I was managing part of this firm, I would have everybody just... Yeah. On a Monday, you come in with a post-it note and you put all your ideas up on the wall. And I'll spend the rest of the week trying to figure out which ones to do with that. And just keep feeding the ideas. Because CEOs, your job is to acquire new customers, maintain the customers that you have, maintain an environment of business, and grow it. And I can't grow it if I'm in the weeds. I can't grow it if I don't have the right people in place. And if I have no ideas. And you should be asking yourself, is there a better way? That's what the guy got out of the cab and goes, there's got to be a better way than taking these cabs. Especially like in Chicago, $50 if you vomit it. Seriously, there's got to be a better way. Continue to ask yourself, there's got to be a better way. So, I would like 3 volunteers. To come up. No, leave them real quick.
3 volunteers to come up for a little game, a little demonstration.
Come on, sir.
We'll laugh, we'll have some fun. There's no embarrassment. Come on, sir. You look good. Yes, ma'am, you look good. Come on. Yeah, put her in the middle. So this is to demonstrate about this listening to understand. I want to introduce to you the smartest person in the whole universe. This is non-gender specific know-it-all. Otherwise known as Mr. Know-it-all, but actually it could be Mr. Know-it-all with a female tip to it. With a soft, warm, cuddly side to it. Knows every question in the universe. He knows the answer. But the unique thing about Mr. Know-it-all is he answers one word at a time. You ready to show off to this group? One word at a time. Okay? I'll go easy. We'll go easy.
Mr. Know-it-all, why is the sky blue?
Because.
The sun.
Let's start again. What was that again?
I said because.
The
sun is
shining.
Bright. Today.
Good. So they're shining bright today through.
Clouds.
Period. So what's happening? What's happening? You stopped at one point, looked at the sky, and paused for a bit. You know why you did that? Because you had an agenda stuck in your head. You had what you thought the conversation was going to go. And when it didn't go your way, you went, uh-oh, whoops, got stuck. Stuck. I'm stuck. Okay. So try it again. I'll give you a different question. But try not to listen to the question, pause for a moment, but try not to formulate an overall agenda. Listen to what the other person says, and then run with it. Why is the bottled water industry so exciting?
Because.
Because the
experience
is
changing
every day.
Smooth in that line, right? Smooth. A little hiccup over here because you couldn't hear. But once they got into that, they began to smoothly go through that. Why is Congress so dysfunctional?
Brain dead.
Done.
Sometimes it's one or two words, just take care of the whole thing, and we move forward.
Thank you, Ed. Appreciate it. Give a great big hand.
In improv, it's all about listening and trying not to be funny. That's a quote from Kristen Wiig. You know who Kristen Wiig is? Who is she? And she starred in what movie?
Bridesmaids.
Yeah. Those who improvise can't be funny. But actually, there's a big difference between stand-up comedy, I do that as well, and improv comedy. Stand-up, I'm writing to make the joke. And obviously, I'm going to go back and do some rewriting. And improv, it's not about making a joke. That's support. Because sometimes you might have to throw just an and out there to support your teammate, to keep it moving in that right direction, versus it coming completely apart. Want to play another? Who in this room did not shower this morning or brush your teeth? Okay, then everybody could play, but I only need five people. And actually, for the five who do come up, if you successfully complete this exercise, I will give you a free copy of my book, or I'll mail you a free copy of my book. You nod your head. Okay, please, join us.
Okay.
Up here, yes. We got one.
Can I have
one again? Sure. I got two, I got three. You need two more. Two more.
Doesn't work with three.
Doesn't work with three. Somebody for this side. Come on, sir. I know you said and, but come on. Come on, back. One more. Who's not looking at me? Looking straight. Bam. On the end. Come on up. You were looking this way. I remember, I used to be a college professor. I don't even call it somewhere.
I prefer my English is not very well.
Okay. Now, this is all about, we
we're going to continue to build.
This is about focus. This is about getting rid of distractions. So we started with listen to understand, and now we're moving to focus. And this is a game called Countdown ABC. What you guys are going to do, you're going to get in a tight circle in a second, and you're going to bow your heads and not look at anybody. And you're going to organically not go through around the circle, weaving and bobbing within. If you can organically go from A to Z with two people not saying the same letter at the same time, you succeed. And I give you a few chances to do that. So remember, and I watch, it's not in a circle. We're not squeezing, you know, when I get a count, they start squeezing staff shoulders like they're puppets, like, talk now. Okay. Just organically, just kind of clear your mind, make a circle. You ever Greek desk before? Put your arms around each other. On each shoulder. Bow our heads like we're in church. And let's see if we can do this. First letter of the alphabet is A.
A. Yeah, I didn't know yet. Thank you for starting.
Yeah.
Okay, so A.
B.
C.
D.
F.
G.
H.
E.
J.
Okay.
Oh! Do it again. Try again.
A.
B.
C.
D.
D.
F.
G.
H.
Wait, try again. Two people's age.
A.
B.
C.
D.
E.
F.
G.
H.
R.
J.
K.
L.
M.
N.
O.
P.
Q.
R.
S.
T.
U.
P.
W.
S.
Y.
Z.
Nice. Nice job.
There's a way to do that where nobody will step over each other. It's recognizing the pattern.
I saw a pattern being somewhat
if
developed.
You go in a circle, then nobody will step over each other.
But you weren't going in a circle. You were going partial to
home. That's because some people, when it got to them, they didn't say anything, so somebody would jump in, and that's when people would talk over each other because they don't recognize the pattern.
But what does that do? You're focused on the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
On some obstacles that might exist to get past it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it took you a few times. Now, how many times did they do that?
Three?
Yeah. It took a group of accountants. They finally got, because they wanted to see if they can do it. It took them like 8 times to do it. I've only had one group do it faster than you, and it took them 2 times. But that was a group of 8, too. Very challenging.
Yeah.
So, at the end, give me your business card information, and I'll have a book to you, signed and autographed, and personalized in the mail over the weekend.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Take it right now. Love that. See, accountants, they go to. Does anybody have business cards with them?
Yes.
Accountants go to conferences and don't bring the business cards. They go, why?
They want nobody to know them.
Yeah. No, it's an accounting conference. Or the other thing is, I'll bring your business card? Yeah. I do a networking session, teaching accounts how to network. I said, everybody bring your business cards? Yes. What are you going to do with your business card? I'm going to go to the vendors and put it in the bowl so I can get some chachka. So I have to talk at accounting speed. So is that an efficient return on investment in your business card? I never thought. Some will say yes. Some will say yes. Okay. See how this is kind of working? Focus. Listening. I don't think I have enough room to do adapt. Because we need a fairly big circle. What the hell? Let's try it. 6 people. And you don't have to talk this time. So much. You don't have to talk so much. You just have to be able to recognize people. I got 1. 2.
Right here. Three. Oh, right here. Here, here. Hey, two more. Three more. I can't count. I'm going to count them. Two more. Doop, doop. Got it. Okay. Come on, join. So, this game, it's going to be more like a football. Come over here. This game has toys we play with. Everybody recognize this? It's a beach ball. So you'll be over here. You'll close that circle up. And Jeff, you're going to take the ball and go beach ball, and you're going to pick somebody out and throw it to them. When you catch it, you say, thank you. Okay? Simple enough. And then you do some beach ball.
What if you hit him in the head with it?
That's okay. That's okay.
Beach ball. Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you.
Beach ball. Thank you. Whoop, whoop. Okay, hold it. This is a squishy ball. See, the squishy ball is thrown like a squishy ball. And you say, thank you. And the beach ball is one at the same time.
Beach ball.
Beach ball.
Beach ball.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Beach ball.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you.
Squishy ball.
Thank you.
Beach ball.
Squishy ball.
Thank you.
Beach ball.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you. Ball.
Thank you.
Beach ball.
Squishy ball.
Thank you.
Freeze. This is a frog. It's my pet frog. The only frog I have. Ribbit.
Did you say frog or frog? Frog? Frog.
Frog is
thank you.
Underhand. Okay. While that's going, and while that's going.
Frog.
Squishy ball.
Frog. Frog.
Thank you. Frog.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Frog.
Squishy ball.
Thank you.
Beach
thank
ball.
You. Thank you.
Beach ball.
Thank you.
Beach ball.
Thank you.
Frog. Thank you.
Thank you.
Frog. Thank you. Oh, frog. Thank you.
Squishy ball.
Frog.
Frog.
Thank you.
Beach ball.
Frog.
Thank you.
Beach thank ball. You. Frog.
We go, oh, hey.
All right. Thank you, thank you.
We have an overachiever. This used to be bouncy ball until I stuck the needle through it. So this is flat dead ball. And we'll put a flat dead ball the same way.
Flat dead ball.
Squishy ball.
Flat dead
beach ball.
Thank you.
Frog.
Beach ball.
Beach ball.
Thank
beach
you.
Ball.
Thank you. Flat ball.
Thank you.
Flat ball.
Thank you. Squishy ball.
Flat ball.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you.
Squishy ball.
Thank you.
Beach ball.
Frog.
Thank you.
Squishy ball.
Squishy ball. Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you.
Frog. Squishy ball.
And stop. Beach ball, please. Thank you. Flat dead ball. Squishy ball.
Frog.
I got more toys. You guys don't buy knives, do you? Oh, this is that beach ball. I'll give the beach ball to you. Thank you, sir. There's the frog.
Thank you.
There's the squishy ball.
Thank you.
There's the flat dead ball.
Let's do it again.
Start with the beach. Everything's going to the same.
Frog.
Squishy ball.
Thank you.
Beach ball.
Frog.
Thank you. Beach ball.
Thank you.
Squishy thank ball. You. Frog.
Thank you.
Beach ball. Beach ball.
Thank you.
Squishy ball.
Beach ball.
Thank you.
Squishy ball.
Thank you.
Frog. Thank you.
Squishy ball.
Beach ball. Beach ball.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Frog.
Beach ball.
Thank you.
Frog.
Beach ball.
Thank you.
And beach ball is
going at one time.
Who's at the beach ball?
I had at least two.
Oh, hold on, hold on.
It's over here. You got away from everybody.
Thank you.
Where's the flat dead ball?
Squishy ball?
Squishy ball.
Squishy ball's gone.
Squishy ball's gone. I don't see it anywhere.
I think he just kicked it.
Yeah. What's left?
The frog.
Frog.
Who's got the frog?
Yes.
Frog. They lost my frog.
I just stepped on it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. So what happened here? What'd you see?
Confusion. What did it require?
Focus.
Focus?
Yeah, concentration.
Concentration?
Working together.
Working together, listening.
At some point,
we had a couple of overachievers that were holding two items.
Yeah.
Some people had no items. Does that happen at work? Does that happen at work?
Well, maybe we've got that associate, that employee that does the best job, and I want to keep them busy.
And then you got Keith, doesn't do stuff very well. We're keeping him on. Ain't got nothing to do. What are you doing to have a good associate? You're making them jumble things. You're burning them out. You're stressing them out. You're overworking them. What are you doing to Pete? He's collecting dust. He's absolutely collecting dust. And we talk about stress in the workplace. And we talk about burnout. And it's also about delegation. When we can recognize things and we begin to delegate, and we stay focused and listen, concentrate, things will be labeled, will be distributed more evenly than not. Everybody will become more productive than not. So when you're back at work and things are kind of going in chaos, use this thought. The principles of improvisation. Improvisation helps you operate more clearly in chaotic situations. Because you recognize only the things that you can control. And it's juggling a lot of balls. And you don't focus on the things you can't control. Once you can focus on the things that you have impact on that you can't control, we will fix this juggling match over here. But if you're sitting in traffic, stuck, swearing, about to lose your mind, how can you control that? You can't. If you're going to get ready to board a plane and they go, we've got mechanical issues, weather's going to delay us, why are we losing our minds? I want to get an airplane that's going to make it, not crash, get hit by lightning. I have no control over that. When I really baked myself in improvisation, my mother goes, what is going on with you? She lives in Fort Myers, Florida, and I don't need to see her that much. And I go, why? What's the matter? She said, normally, if we're sitting in traffic, you'd have thrown at least four or five F-bombs with a few other salt and pepper shakers. So, man, I can't control it. So is that why you keep telling me that, you know, quit freaking out every time the stock market drops? Yeah, man, quit freaking. Do you have control over it? No. You do have control over your own portfolio. So you have to make a choice on how much risk you're willing to accept. And I said, here's my definition of risk for you, mother. When your portfolio eats through my sister's inheritance, eats through my brother's inheritance, and begins working on mine, that's when you sell everything. But if it's keeping you up late at night and you're not sleeping, sell it all. That's not smart. Well, what's smart? Stressing out, sleeping, not sleeping at your age, or just laying a bed of cash. Do the things you can't control.
Try not to focus on those things we can't control. And the two most powerful words in the English language, yes and. We're going to tell a story. All of us. We're going to tell a story.
And in this story, I'm going to start off and say something like, on Saturdays I like to play golf. And I'm going to look at you and you go, yes. Of course, yes. I like to play golf. And I like to drink beer. Yes, I like to drink beer, and I like to hit people with golf clubs. Yes, I like to hit people with golf clubs, and I don't mind a picture. And whatever person comes into your mind, acknowledge what the person said, and then come up with something. So, we'll start like this. I am a walrus. Somebody else.
What you're supposed to do.
Well, accountants think it, non-accountants speak it. I am a walrus. Yes, I am a walrus.
Yes, I am a walrus. don't like people.
Yep. And? No buts?
Oh. I'm the water thing. And I would like people.
You like to do what?
A tiger.
Yes, and.
Yes, I'd like to be a tiger.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'd like to be a tiger. And yes, I'd like to live in the zoo.
Yes, I'd like to live in the zoo. And throw peanuts at all the customers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would like to throw peanuts at all the customers and make them happy.
Yes, I would like to make them happy and dance the whole day.
Yes, I would like to dance the whole day. And do that while the sun is up.
While the sun is up and the women are attractive.
Yes, I like the women attractive.
Yes, I like the women attractive and then hunky.
Yes, that's a good comment.
How would you say
it? And no, I'm not gay.
And I'd like to go to dinner.
Yes, and I'd like to play golf.
Yes, I'd like to go to dinner.
Yes, I'd like to go to dinner. And I would like to play golf.
Yes, I'd like to play golf, and I'd like to have some wine with my dinner.
Yes, I'd like to have some wine.
Wine
with my dinner, and I'd like a cocktail too.
So wait a minute, we've got a walrus that wants to be a lion, that wants to be in the zoo, that wants to dance, that plays golf, and likes both men and women.
Kind of funny, huh? But what are we doing? We're agreeing with the person's statement, and we're adding to it. Versus just what stops everything in its tracks.
I got nothing. And you may ultimately get to a point to say, yes, and great idea. Yes, and I understand your situation. However, we cannot accommodate it now. But at least you took the time to listen to them. That's how we maintain a workforce. By truly listening and understanding. I mean, managing people is crazy. And there are some crazy people. But if we can use the principles of improvisation in our daily lives, I'll go out on the limb and guarantee you your businesses will change for the best. What questions do you have for me? Excuse me?
Beatles?
I like doing the walls because somebody always goes, well, they think it. Nobody said anything. I go, okay, come on. Who's thinking cookie-choo? Here's what I have for you. If you would like to test drive my book, I've got a bookmark up here with a website on it, Improv is No Joke. You can download a free copy of my book, Test Drive, and if you like it, it's on Amazon.com, you can purchase it. I also have my business cards up here. If you ever want to do this at your office and you completely forget what the heck I did, contact me. I don't charge you for that. Contact me. You know, I want to do some improv at our office at a staff meeting, but I just don't quite remember everything, but it was fun. Either get on the phone, or we'll do it through email, depending on how urgent it is and how I'm traveling, and I will help you do that. No charge. Just kind of my gift to the IBWA membership. Be happy to help out in which way I can if you'd like to do this on your own. So you can follow me on Facebook. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. I'm trying out Periscope. Anybody do Periscope? Basically, I could broadcast this class live to the two people that follow me. It's really new. And they could watch what's going on. Or they would get a notice and be able to watch it within 24 hours, because that's the 24 hours that my Snapchat disappears. So, one, I want to thank you for volunteering the time. Thank you for your attentiveness. I've enjoyed my time. And sometimes I really like a small group to work with. I have a lot. I have a lot.
guys.